All right, KMEC Radio 105.1 FM, live in Ukiah, at least for the moment. We do have our, what do we call these things? It's a radiation monitor, a Geiger counter, and we can turn it on here so you can actually hear what it sounds like when the beeps. There is a little bit of ambient. Every once in a while, you'll hear a little click. Even in the studio, we have a few ambient little electrons floating around. Mm. And we have with us Louis Bigfoot, and to give us an update and a sort of an overview of what's happening within
the county at large, as well as, of course, the Board of Supervisors. Again, this is Louis Bigfoot with Govinda Dalton. We are here in Ukiah at KMEC Radio. And today the Board of Supervisors, of course, has a day off. They're trying to consolidate their workload, so they're having more time off. And so that gives us an opportunity to give you a little bit of retrospective on news from the past as well as the future. But before we get to the Board of Supervisors, I thought I would just put up a few sound bites. Saturday night here, KMEC Radio Live hosted Cindy Sheehan over at the Saturday afternoon club. Thank you. And for those of you that did not attend, it was fun. She's a lively, high-spirited person, you know.
And it was also good to have Dan Hamburg do a presentation there as well in reference to the impacts of the military war machine on our local social economy.
Yeah, excuse me, Friday night. Let's start over. Yeah, Friday night. Yeah, Cindy Sheehan, Friday night at the Saturday Afternoon Club. Right. What can else we say? Well, listen, here are some, there's a little bit of a sound bite I pulled out, and let's see what kind of sound we get.
First, I guess, I felt that way. I was like, wow, you know, for so many years, half this country hated me, and now, everybody hates me. You know, if I didn't have my two cats, I don't know what I would have done. And so, Che and Yoko, my CEO. And so I started, like, this really bothered me. I mean, I'm a human being. No human being likes to be attacked. You know, we expect to be attacked from our enemies that I didn't know I had. But now that our old friends attacking us and all, you know, all this stuff was really, really hard. It was hard for me. And so I started thinking, what makes people do this? You know, since Casey died from 04 to 08, I was really, really involved in the anti-war movement. People who I thought wanted to end the wars, but what they just wanted to do was end Bush. And so it was more like an anti-Bush movement. And that's cool. You know, I'm still anti-Bush. I'm one of the biggest anti-Bush people in the world. But that is obviously not enough. It's a systemic problem. It's not a political party problem.
Right.
It's a deeply systemic problem. So I was like up one night, every night, a lot of nights, like just tossing and turning, and you know, why do people, like, I thought that the right, who attacked me for so many years, should be supporting Obama and some of his policies. And I thought the left, who supported me, should still be with me. But it was weird. And I thought, what keeps people still tied into the system? Smart people. You know, not everybody that's a Republican is stupid. You know, and many of them came to see that George Bush was a nightmare. George Bush left office with like a 23% approval rating. And that's not all, you know, the people who disapproved of him obviously aren't all Democrats. I have people tell me all the time, I voted for him. I voted for him twice, but I was wrong. I woke up, I was wrong. And so, but I feel like, you know, the left side of the political spectrum spectrum, we thought had more brains. And so I was thinking, what keeps smart people invested? And I thought, is it these myths that we're raised on?
Yes.
And so this was like 3 o'clock in the morning one morning. And I thought of this title, Myth America. You get it? Myth, you guys thought I had a list, but I don't. And I thought, oh, that's an awesome title. I'm going to get up, I'm going to write an article. But as I started to write it, I realized it wasn't an article. It was a book. And so my first book had 10 myths. I went and toured 53 cities, and I got feedback, and I added 10 more myths. And I know that it could be like a library. You know, you have to stop somewhere. And so the very first myth that I dispel in Myth America is, I think, the foundational myth. Is the myth that keeps us not questioning too deeply, from accepting the crimes of our government, the thefts of our government, handing over our children to a murderous government. And that's the myth that the United States of America is the greatest nation in the universe. I could have said in history or on the planet, but I want to make a point. And the point is, say we discover in another solar system another planet that has life on it. And we figure out that they have the greatest nation on their planet. You know what? We don't need to know anything about that other nation, that on that other planet. We already know we're better than it. You know, we don't need to know about its culture. We don't need to know about its politics. We don't need to know about its ecology. We don't need to know about anything, its religion, anything. We already know we're better than that country.
And that was Cindy Sheehan on last Friday night at the Saturday Afternoon Club with Dan Hamburg doing a presentation.
It's been a spectacular day, although it's awfully sunny, and we have no sunshine in here. We have just a neon tube. But I had a surprise visit this morning at the Board of Supervisors. I went there to pick up my weekly notes, and as I walked in the front door, I ended up having a conversation with a gentleman who puts together the safety for the Spanish workers of Mendocino County as in and around herbicides. And so I'm just going to bring up this conversation, and then we'll get into it, and then we'll add more dialogue.
So this
dialogue.
Is the whole county?
I believe so, yes. Whoever shows up.
Do they have to have this in order to get a job then or do work? Or? You're not sure?
It's best to ask, you know. Okay. This is basically...
So you're talking about toxic protection?
Yeah, pesticides and so on, safety equipment.
Masks
and all that stuff.
Do they take this seriously?
REI, yes.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh. What kind of pesticide are they?
A number of pesticides. It just depends. Depending on the ranch and all the stuff.
On the ranch and the stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, come on this way, though.
Okay.
They have the keys to get in.
Oh, okay.
And what is your name again?
Rafael Lopez.
Do you have a phone number?
Yes, 707-293-0771.
And you're going to be doing a workshop today at the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, I am.
And you're going to explain to the... And
to the employees.
How many employees do you think you have? You got about 16, 18 now.
You know, I think there's going to be a few more arriving. I'm not quite sure.
How many years have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 7 years.
You do all many counties? Or?
Yes. Mendocino County, uh-huh. Napa County, Sonoma County.
Uh-huh.
So
how many workers are all together you trained, do you think? 100?
Thousands.
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 In California, huh?
There they are. I know these
anxious
individuals here.
Okay.
Buenos dias.
I'm a reporter for the radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is he a good trainer?
Oh, yeah. He's a very good one.
Is he a good trainer?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to shave for this job, huh? That's why I like my job. I don't have to shave.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's been training for long, I guess.
So what's he train you on? What kind of stuff?
For the pesticide and the tractors and everything, all the equipment.
Yes. We do a number of trainings. Today we're focusing on worker protection standard, as I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
There's going to be a number of employees arriving. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I know most of them.
Do you take this serious? This
just yeah, it's very important for us.
Very important, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, we always in the field, so we have to be careful.
You do, what kind of stuff do you do?
Vineyard work.
Vineyard work. So what kind of pesticides do they have?
All kind of, all different kinds.
It just depends on the ranch. Each ranch has their own types of pesticides. Yeah. It just depends what, you know, what they decide to apply in their ranch.
Yeah, what about the European moth? Do you know the European moth?
No.
Do you know the European
quite
moth?
Quite a bit.
Is there a lot of pesticides in that?
You know, there's a number of studies of what to use. European moth is, you know, with other insects, we have to study and so on, what, you know, what's going to be applied.
So you're targeting it, though?
Yes, we are, yes.
Anything else in particular that's important right now?
You know, there's a number of information on the European moth.
Okay, I'll let you guys go, though.
Thanks,
guys.
Okay, that was in the hallway on Low Gap Road where the Board of Supervisors meet. The volume's a little low on it. The board, again, didn't meet today, so I just happened to bump into this gentleman who was, there was about 18 Spanish people out in the hallway there waiting to go into the main room, and it was a surprise if I only had a camera as well, because to see the faces and talk to the people, it was a complete treasure and pleasure.
Well, it's interesting, actually, to know that as we spoke earlier about the herbicide pesticide use in Mendocino County, it's always interesting to get a report from the Farm Bureau of exactly how many tons of this and that are used. And once again, the fact that there are things available at Walmart that you can just walk in and buy. Whereas at the Farm Bureau, they were saying that if you buy the very same chemical, you will need to register and get paid to get a permit to actually apply. So it's really important for folks to recognize the toxicity issues and the impacts you can have on yourself, your family, and your friends and neighbors by using pesticides and herbicides that you can buy over the counter at various stores around the county.
Yeah, that was has not been discussed in the boardroom whatsoever at the Board of Supervisors, this issue of controlling over these levels. In fact, when I talked to Tony Liniger, the Ag Commissioner of Mendocino County, he said that he too felt this is an incredible program deficiency in our regulations, and that the regulations need to, my sound is...
It depends on when you start talking.
Yeah. The deficiency in the ordinances and regulations in and around pesticides, particularly the home guy can go to Walmart, as well as a company can go to Walmart. Anybody can go to Walmart and buy pretty much uncontrollable amounts, and then the neighbors have no idea of what is going on, you know, so that... And I will bring you more to that. I know I talked to Tony Liniger the other day, and he one of his main concerns is the alfalfa ready Roundup that is out there right now, and how that
in Mendocino County.
It's going to be global, and he's really concerned about that. I've got an interview with him. I don't have that ready to go up. We'll have that on next week. He's talking about how he feels that's an absolute threat to alfalfa, as well as the population at Jarge.
And I thought that, I mean, that's an incredible heads-up kind of piece of information, because I thought Mendocino County had a no GMO policy. And Roundup Ready products are a Monsanto derivative. And
well, I haven't heard a 911 on this. Tony brought it up just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I just haven't done a follow-up. In fact, I'm glad you brought it up, Govinda, because... it's just one of those things, you know. We'll do a follow up. So next week I'll play part of that interview next week by Tony Liniger talking about this. But we need to go one step further and find out if because we do grow alfalfa in this county. It's used for a horse feed as well as cow feed. In fact, it's been projected if you took out all the alfalfa and planted food, you could solve the world's food crisis, because the square footage of alfalfa, which goes to horse animal feed, if we were turned into the population feed, of course we do eat cattle and we ride our horses, but huge acres of alfalfa, and that's why they want this Roundup Ready alfalfa to be approved and used, basically. And again, it just, I haven't heard beyond what I've reported. But what I've got here too is I'm going to give a short update on the CEO's
report last week, because again, we didn't. It's right now, as we're speaking this afternoon, the Human Health Services is going to be talking in Mendocino County and talking about the what they are, the game plan is to, as the shrinking of government, you know, occurs, and in the sense that they're going to reduce the public guardian funding, they're going to reduce the veterans funding and the AAA funding. To what level, we're not sure, and they're talking about that this afternoon. Those are the three main ones, and they're also going to talk about the reduction in space, because the county has over $1 million in leases annually, which sucks a whole lot of money out of the general fund. And she talks about the tsunami effect on the county, in a sense there were 9,000 residents in the county, primarily in the South Coast and Hopland, who had power outages due to that tsunami. And the restoration of that power was rather immediate, because the county has a huge 911 phone tree. In fact, as we speak, the $50,000 money that has been allocated to put up two large signal platforms on the coast, one at Noyo and one on the South Coast, is being implemented. Sheriff Tom talked about that a couple weeks back. This $50,000, actually it's going to run closer to $60,000, is being allocated and approved, and trying to follow up on the impacts and understanding of the tsunamis. In fact, it's interesting, because all of this is coming down at the same time that the tsunami in Japan occurred. We just are having, tomorrow there's going to be a tsunami alert on all radio and TV, and as well as throughout all the law enforcement, to try and look at any bugs in the tsunami warning system as it stands. And we'll have more on that into the future and see how that shakes out. And then last week, too, the CEO talked about how the next week, on April 5th, will be the next board meeting, and that Steve Zweibach will be back talking about ways to reduce the budget. And that's April 5th. And on May 3rd, the board will have an off-site meeting scheduled to be at the Anderson Valley Fairgrounds. It says tentatively, but I believe it is going to be at the fairgrounds. That's May 3rd, the Board of Supervisors. And there's more on her, but that's just a short version. Another thing that came through the board was the courthouse. We've talked about that many times. What is going to happen with the courthouse? And again, because the courthouse apparently does not meet earthquake recovery standards, and so there is a termination of the earthquake recovery identity authority in the county, and that they indemnity authority, in other words, they're going to condemn the courthouse at one point. That's what this is suggesting. This is the meeting date is March 1st. The meeting has already occurred, but they are having they're going to create a handle, a seismic risk associated with the transfer of court facilities. Again, seismic risk associated with the transfer of court facilities. So, and the seismic risk level, are trying to understand what is the seismic risk level to the courthouse of Mendocino County, leading to a potential demolishing of that courthouse. And when asked about this, Supervisor McCown indicated that possibly there are two buildings that are being looked at. One is the one across from the library. There's an empty lot there, parking lot, which I think is needed for parking. I don't know how you can put a courthouse there. And the other one is down by the old train station. They're going to take that piece of property there, 7 acres or so, and put the courthouse down there. That seems like a better location.
But you know, one of the ideas is that a lot of this conversation came up with the various consultants that were employed by the county and the town of Ukiah, and the state had actually suggested that maybe an alternative courthouse prison thing could be built in conjunction with various counties, and all of that seems to have trickled away.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that whole thing. It sort of died out. They had, and now it's coming back. It's like reemerging, and with no money and no, I don't know. I mean, it sounds ridiculous to me, but they're apparently they've taken out special insurance, and that's what this is a little bit about. Again, getting back to the insurance, they're going to take out extra risk insurance. That's partly what this is. In order to get the insurance, they have to show risk, And I think that's where this may be leading. Just take out more insurance and leave the courthouse stand as is for now, anyway, until someday when, you know, it becomes a tougher situation.
Well, and one thing that would be really nice in terms of making downtown Ukiah a little nicer would be to close off the streets around the courthouse and maybe even all of School Street, mm-hmm. at least in the downtown area, to sort of bring back the walking kind of downtown center.
Yeah, just like the car show tends to promote, as well as KMEC had their fundraiser last year.
Pumpkin Fest and various things like that, but maybe make it permanent.
Yeah, well, I support change. The other thing that came out a couple weeks ago is the Mendocino County Food Policy Council. I've mentioned this before on KMEC Radio Live. But again, it is moving forward, the County Food Policy Council, and you can talk to any of your supervisors about if you are concerned about the food, the process and money that can be generated and saved, and public awareness around food policy. I know Govinda's had a lot of issues with canned food.
Not necessarily me. Biphenyl A, which is an estrogen female hormone that is made into a plastic that is used to spray canned food, biphenyl A. So you don't want to buy any canned food that is in a can. Now, glass is different. Aspartame, the synthetic chemical that's communicated to be a sugar, which is just basically a straight-up brain tumor event. And fluoride is another one, which is a byproduct of aluminum and was introduced to the American people through Congress by the doctor that was injecting people with plutonium. One of your Nazi doctors brought over is the one that sort of introduced this whole concept of fluoridation and the impacts on that kind of toxic poison on the American people is...
Okay, well, the council seeks the board's recognition and support and purposes to advise the board on food and farming matters at least twice yearly. They want to talk about local economy, preserving and protecting agricultural groups, businesses, educational institutions, farmers, government agencies.
$293 million are spent on, is a leakage issue. You talk about the food, and if folks spent just 15% of their food on produced by local farmers, there would be an increase of over $20 million circulated just here in Mendocino County. So the most revolutionary thing you can do is grow your own food. If you can't do that, at least purchase your food from local farmers, growers.
Yeah, well, there is no money requested by this council. This is just a heads-up council for the people of Mendocino County Food Policy Council. Again, Supervisor Brown and Hamburg put this on the agenda. That was a couple weeks ago. It's time you get an update on that and hang in there. The other issue here is that I want to bring up is the discussion regarding the formation of an ad hoc committee to work with the Mendocino County Sheriff and CEO on selecting and hiring another consultant, to review the Sheriff's Office Department of Efficiencies and Effectiveness. Again, Sheriff Tom has claimed that he wants his department wide open. He doesn't have anything in the closet, and yet the CEO is looking at possibly hiring another consultant to reduce.
To do a study on whether or not they've been as efficient as they could possibly be.
Efficiencies and effectiveness. Can you imagine? I'm against it personally. That's my own opinion. I think he's doing a great job, and he's doing the best he can. But again, that was brought up by Kerry Brown, that ad hoc committee to work with the sheriff. Can you imagine? Anyway, we all have our different axes to grind. The other thing that came up was the retirement money again, and I'm going to give you a heads up on the a little bit of a sound bite. Here is last week, the retirement board. Again, the retirement board is looking at taking another $4.5 million out of the general fund of Mendocino County. And here's a little bit of the sound of Jim Anderson talking before the board.
But we think that the opportunity to discuss this educate folks on the rates is critical.
Mr. Anderson, before you begin on the PowerPoint and the specific Supervisor McCowan, it's a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to jump ahead to the conclusion, if I may, because until yesterday, I had been proceeding on the assumption that we were talking about adopting the rates that were reflected in the Buck Consultants actuarial report through June 30th of 2010, and that would have indicated a contribution rate of about 3.6, an increase of about 3.6 million for the county. And I thought that was the direction that the retirement board was going, and it, of course, as you know, we merely ratify the rate that the retirement board adopts. And then I was told yesterday evening by a staff member that, in fact, the retirement board had adopted a lower number based on a percentage of payroll. So could you clear that up for me, please, what we're talking about in terms of the county contribution for next year?
If I may, Supervisor McCowan, a couple of slides ahead, I was going to hit on that issue and specifically point to in the report where you can clarify that. Do you mind?
Just very briefly, will it be the 3.6 million or something less in terms of the increase?
Based upon.
And you're listening to KMC.
If your payroll is less than was anticipated in the actuarial.
Talking to Anderson, who is the man in charge, and again, what he just said, Anderson just said that, you know, the consultants basically are being charged with, you might say, the way they, the data they collected has compounded the problem by not giving the true facts. That's being generous, or you could say they laundered, you know. But in fact, the facts were the way they're presented over time created a greater deficit.
Well, I would say the assumptions that they made in their projections was probably the big problem that
the
came
assumptions.
Out.
Yeah, that's a sweet way of saying it. Yeah,
and so not to say that it was malicious in intent, but that it was the projections and the assumptions of those projections when folded into the way a lot of accounting is done. And I think that's one of the ways accountants can manipulate things as to whether or not that was on purpose or not is also an issue. But the point being that $6 million that doesn't exist is and that the county is now responsible for, is that what I understood?
Well, that's the projected amount of money that the county is going to have to put into the fund, yeah.
Besides,
yeah. And see, again, this is money that comes out of the general fund. That's why this is a heated debate here, because the normal people of Mendocino County, people that don't work for the county, have to take the money from their general fund, from safety, from the libraries, from the veterans, and all these
social network programs.
And give that money, just $6 million, to the
$140 million that's already set aside.
And they've set aside, they have another fund of $140 million, which they're not touching, which is sort of what I'm wondering. Why aren't they dipping into this this other fund, you know, rather than draw the $6 million out of the... But then they also talk about... Let me just read the way this is retired about Buck Consult. This is unusual to be... The Board of Retirement accepted Buck Consultants actuary study on February 16th despite known flaws. Now this is in big print here. Despite known flaws in the report, because of the recognition that the Board of Supervisors must provide no later than 40 days prior to the end of the year. See, this whole thing was a rush deal too. That's part of this information did not even come into the boardroom until that day of the meeting. In fact, there was complaints about that. And it would be costly to perform another study, $25,000, just to go back and reshuffle the deck. Yeah, just to revisit it. They want to hire another consultant for $25,000. And that would require another 60 days. In the meantime, you know, all this, the time is clicking and clicking. The Board of Retirement did not have confidence in Buck Consultants to amend their report. And it goes on and on. There was no chance of overcharging the county and other plan sponsors. Well, it goes on and on and on, and I don't think radio is that type of thing. But let me just play one more little soundbite of John McCowan talking to Anderson, who is the guy that is, represents the retirement board to the county. Here's Jim Anderson and John McCowan.
There may be some question as to, you know, why move forward. If you have a report where the previous year's report had flaws in it and you see some flaws in this particular report, you know, what was the thinking of the Board of Retirement in moving forward with the 2010 actuarial valuation and the recommendation of the rates? And there were a number of items that they took into consideration in directing me to bring this forward and adopting the rates. The first, as you can see, is that we do have a statutory requirement for the retirement system to provide the county with rates at least 45 days prior to the end of the fiscal year. Another item that the Board of Retirement looked at was if we were looking at rates that we had some concern about the way they were constructed, what's kind of the cost effectiveness of creating new rates, essentially rates that we have a higher level of confidence in. And what we determined was that, or the board determined was that, in talking with experts, we were probably looking at a cost of an additional $25,000 to redo the June 30, 2010 valuation report, and another 60 days. And so we were looking at a significant cost, as well as a delay in the period of time that the county would be able to proceed with its budgeting activities and know what kind of rates it was looking at for the 2011-12 fiscal year. The findings and recommendations contained by the EFI actuaries, those are going to be addressed in an upcoming experience study. And for those board members that may not have been through this process before, what an experience study is you take a three-year period of time and you look at what the actuary has assumed, built into their assumptions, and you compare that to what actually happened, the reality of what occurred over 3 years. And it's that comparison of assuming and projecting versus reality that really creates the debate of, okay, what should be the assumptions be going forward?
I'm not going to let this go any further because it just goes on and on and over again. And they, you know, there's not much they can do right now. They're just in a holding pattern. We'll bring this back to you at the public from the board as next meeting. I think next meeting they'll probably come up with some hard decisions on where to go on this issue. John Sackwitz was there and he stood up and he said it wasn't Buck Consultants wasn't the problem. Really, the problem was that the retirement board just wasn't doing due diligence and they didn't listen to the public soon enough because the public has brought this issue to the retirement board and the retirement board has ignored the public's call. And again, this is a part of the government in the sense that they do not want to take the public generally very serious and here in Mendocino County. So did you want to make comment?
No. Well, I think that's an important point that the public is, we have a very intelligent audience out there and that their contributions are absolutely necessary for the government to work. And I think that's one of the issues that we need to look at is how do we re-envision the way local community government watershed policies are developed and implemented, and how do we deal with the real cost of this kind of stuff, and what are the impacts of having a retirement scheme set up the way it is that overtaxes everything to the fact that it shuts down the rest of the community so that the retirees can stay floating.
Yeah, we'll see. This will be back before the board on the 5th, I believe, coming up. Again, the board didn't meet this week. Till next week they'll be meeting. And then the following week they'll be in Boonville over the fairgrounds. But another interesting a twist came to the board a couple weeks ago, and that has to do with the Coastal Commission, because there's a seat vacant on the Coastal Commission. And Supervisor Smith had all of her ducks in order. Supervisor Smith from the coast, from Mendocino County, had her ducks in order. And then all of a sudden, Mark Lovelace from Humboldt County decided he wanted to challenge Supervisor Smith to this seat, the coastal seat of Northern California, and the Coastal Commission. And so he has now, Mark Lovelace has, as we speak, sent his application in, and I've read that application. I have to tell you, it is profound. Next week, maybe I'll bring the whole application and read it from one end to the other. I mean, all of the accomplishments of Mark Lovelace of Mendocino County is significant. Humboldt County, excuse me, as well as Supervisor Smith. She's been around the block many, many times, you might say. So that'll be an interesting to watch into the future, the challenge Mark Lovelace versus Supervisor Smith from Humboldt County, or from Mendocino County. And that was certainly a...
And once again, you know, we have to recognize that elected officials and the officials that participate within these community organizations are just the sort of the ears for the rest of everyone. And a democracy mandates participation. Participatory democracy means that everyone needs to be up to speed with what's going on. And that's part of KMEC Radio in terms of trying to develop a formatted vehicle way that we can stay informed for the issues that are descending upon us.
Well, another one is the Postal Service is closing of the building here in Ukiah. The Postal Service has, you know, said they want to close the building down and save some money because of the old building. But on April 21st, there will be another meeting around this. There's been a petition out in front of the Postal Service bringing the issue out. And Supervisor John McCown brought that up at the last board meeting, saying that, and he announced this meeting, the April 21st meeting, if you're concerned about Postal Service's use of the main building because they want to close it down. I'm in favor of keeping it. I know it's more money, but...
Well, I think it all has to do with the UVAP kind of this envisioning that went on 3 years ago or so, and the idea that downtown Ukiah, the business sector, would be relocated to the what was the triangle?
We call it our own local Emerald Triangle.
The road Logap turns into,
right, well, you keep going on Logap towards the freeway, Bush turns into Bush, and then Bush, that's
right. And so that whole area was going to become, or seven, had been, yeah, earmarked as one of the possible locations for the relocation of a
when there was funding when there was money moving around. Yeah, they actually wanted the dream set up to 30 acres, and then they were going to keep 7 for the county and sell back 23 acres to the general public as a scheme, make money, and, you know, get some that was the old days, huh? Boy, they had
just 3 years ago.
Yeah, they had a consultant on that one too, and I don't know how much they spent the consultant. Remember all the fancy paperwork and I got it at home. I hung them up
millions
on the wall. It's mementos, you know. County government mementos. Well, again, before the Board of Supervisors sent in early March was the letter by the Mendocino National Forest Lands. It was Tom Contreras talking about there indeed will be road checks in the National Forest for the first time in its history ever. If you want to go to the National Forest this summer, you will have to go through a road check, maybe two road checks, to try and control the damage and the proliferation of the illegal marijuana grown in the National Forest. Tom Contreras goes around in this letter talking about the need to protect the water, need to protect the health and the people of Mendocino County in the National Forest. Again, this is part of Operation Full Court Press that Sheriff Tom Allman is putting in to plan this summer. He has mobilized the 6 counties of the northern part of California into coordinating the efforts between the National Guard, the federal government, and local resources to use all the resources at hand. And again, Tom Contreras from the Forest Supervisors sent a letter in acknowledging this process and that he is working on it. And he is also saying that be ready, that he's going to be ready to put as many men on hand to help implement this full court press. If you haven't heard about it,
also there was Tom spoke of the sheriff of some grants that are available to do some of the reclamation that's going to be necessary. What happens with how much of the toxic herbicides and different kinds of fertilizers, all the debris that's left behind these grow scenes, that needs to be cleaned up, and that's another component to this whole thing is to identify it, to sort of deal with the people and the issues, and then to deal with all the toxic waste that's left behind.
Well, they had that full court press meeting back in January over in the Hampton Inn. I attended that, and believe me, there were a lot of people there, a lot of concerns. In fact, the Tom Allman also, I have that on my other computer, however, the veterans are going to be used, veterans who are looking for employment are going to be used for part of the support network in the National Forest. They're going to have food bases, camps, prepared meals, showers, and they're going to bring in, in fact, the National Guard was at that meeting at the Hampton Inn in January and said that they have only 200 men that they can bring, but they're not sure they can bring them all at one time, because if they bring all their 200 men here to Mendocino County, they have the other counties that they have to deal with, and also the fact that something else, like if there's other fires that break out at that time of year, then they're going to have to deal with the fire situation. So they could not guarantee how many men that they're going to bring in. Again, this is a National Guard, but they are on board with this full court press that is started by Sheriff Tom Allman. He is quite the guy. You know, not only is he doing this, he did the zip ties, which is the only county that has zip ties in Mendocino County, and apparently they are pretty much considered law in a sense. If you buy a zip tie, we are the first county that allows, you know, there's 100 marijuana plants per parcel.
Well, there still is controversy about that in terms of do we know how the trial has gone for the folks in Covelo that actually had the zip ties but were still raided and all their plants taken?
Well, according to the I only received one report, and I will give more. I will get more.
We'll
on
find
that,
out more about that.
But there was only one report, and apparently that was sorted out. But again, you know, it has to do with not only the zip tie, but the amount grown around the zip tie. You know, if you have one zip tie and you got, you know,
or you got the zip ties before or after.
Before and after. There's a lot of details here to that story. But again, the library did come up. Remember the sales tax was approved, so there's going to be a 1/8 cent sales tax on the Mendocino future in the next election, and also that they are also talking about turning the libraries over to the city at that time, and that was turned down. Again, there's a $160,000 shortfall they're trying to
and also the fact that Pinches had volunteered his paycheck.
He volunteered his paycheck. I wish I had that recorded. Okay, the other thing that came up recently was the museum. The museum is going to stay open at this point, even though they're budgeting over $100,000 for the museum director, which is up from the $70,000 or so that was for the former museum director. And the new museum is Allison Glassie, and she's the assistant CEO, so she has a lot of weight. But she's been able to convince the board. She came to that last meeting with a full packet of paper explaining all the things that have to be done and the museum this and. But anyway,
does the museum bring in a profit?
Well, that's what she's claiming, that she wants to try and have to turn it around, to get enough people there to generate a revenue. And by all means, it should generate a profit in the sense that the resource is incredible. If you haven't been to the Mendocino County Museum, I mean, the museum, it's plus the Roots of Motor Power, which is right next door.
And but that is in Willits. You can go up into Willits and make a right or head east on Commercial and go across the railroad tracks, and just a little bit on the left there, you'll see it.
Again, well, that was a little snapshot of the news from Mendocino County, Humboldt County. Again, we'll have more next week on Tuesday afternoon after the board takes a break, and then into the afternoon. Again, this is Lewis Bigfoot.
Govinda Dalton, KMEC LP, 105.1 FM, Ukiah, Mendocino Environmental Center. This is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011.